Welcome to Guilds of the North, the spin-off Guild Ball podcast from Geeks of the North. This week, I'm with Steve.
Hey, Antoine.
So, how are you doing?
Very good. Hey, where's Paul?
Yeah, that I was going to mention that. So, we don't have a Paul with us tonight, sadly. So, you'll have to do without his witty banter. And is a lot smoother than us English accent.
And something else is missing, though. We need to
mention insults.
Yeah, we need to say where Yom sucks. I mean, and we can't say it because he finished with a losing streak at the Nationals. So we can't say he sucks.
2-3.
Yeah,
it's not that bad. And the Yom sucks was mainly because he was not playing Guild Ball. And he's playing Guild Ball again with the Nationals.
Yeah, so. But one of his victory was the bye. Does it really count as a victory?
He didn't lose four.
Well, it's a minor victory.
Yeah.
And he came to just take the best painting prize and show us how unworthy of his painting we are. So... He sucks at playing, and we sucks at painting. So I guess, kind of, tied things up.
Sure, if that makes you feel better.
Yeah, it does.
So you mentioned the National. You mentioned Yom winning painting. This show will be some news. We'll have a quick talk about how the Nationals went, and after that, we will have an interview with Sam Noiron, who won the Nationals. So that we'll try to do the intro quick because the interview is will be the main part of the show. So let's jump in with the news. So first up, the Farmer's Pitch is available from Deep Cut Studio and Steamforge now. The licensed product. It was shown on the stream first, I think, and is now on the store, right?
Yeah, exactly. There was one of their match that was stream featured on that pitch, and now it's widely available for purchases. Yeah.
Go with the next one.
The next one is more roll-up dice race. We have the blacksmith, farmers, hunters, and mortician. For each of those two guilds, you have two different trays featuring three iconic players of these guilds.
After that, Battlefoam has released as a licensed product a new guild-specific trays. So you have with the cutouts for the existing players and the existing minis. Steve, do you know if those works with the new planned Risen release, like for the Morticians?
Well, they released Falconers, Ratcatchers, and Hunters and Mortician. Hunters, I know it's the current sculpt. And so probably my guess is the Mortician is with the metal sculpt. Called. I'm not sure it's with the Risen one. I've asked on the Guild Ball support group, but didn't get any answer. So I'll guess we'll wait for Jamie to listen to the podcast and answer us directly. Right, Jamie?
Yeah. Do you have the release date for the Risen Morticians?
At first they were supposed to be around June, but I think some got delayed because the pre-order was too much. So I would need to check the website to see when they are getting out. But it should be soon for the Morticians, if I'm not mistaken.
That's it?
June 29 on the website.
Oh, that's coming pretty fast. Yeah. Then.
But what's coming faster is the Falconers in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you're jumping items.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. We have something that was shown today on the stream. Steamforge, is doing kind of their own version of the World Cup, because there's a World Cup happening this year for soccer. And they're going to do a Homeland Cup, which is the Guild Ball equivalent of the World Cup. So
it's an alternate format where you play teams based on the players' nations instead of their guilds.
And the hosting nation for this time, it's the Iscarian, and they are doing a resin team for Doros. So they're alternate models, but actually it's the kind of current sculpt, and with sports jerseys and running shoes and socks and everything. So they look like they're playing football.
Football players.
Yeah, soccer player instead of like with weapons and trying to kill themselves with while playing soccer as well. So you can see the link will be in the show note, and you can see the sculpt. Those will be in colored resin, and they're available for pre-order now.
Yeah. So that's it for the new releases. Coming soon, we have in the releases, there's the Fateful Box, which is the teams that didn't get models from the Exiles.
And after that, approximately September from our guest, because there's the lunch pack for the Navigators Guild, who's out in August. So if the trends continue, the guild is out 1 month after. So we're guessing mid-September for the Navigator Guild.
Yep. And I think it was in one of the streams.
It was mentioned. Yeah, at Vengeance, they did a Q&A.
And yeah, and they showed a teaser of the next minor guild. And the teaser was just like a color, right?
No, they just mentioned it was a red-colored minor guild.
Yeah, so it's either Butchers or, if you take that really liberally, maybe Engineers, but
our guess is Butchers. So,
and that's it for the big news.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the National quick. So the Nationals happened last weekend. The East Canadian National Championship for Guild Ball, we were running it. I was TOing during the day. Steve, Kevin, and Marc-Antoine, the other pundit that helped me, that helped prepare the event, were playing. It went really well. We finished right on time. No big quibble, no big rules mistakes, no players arguing or anything. We had one no-show, which had us having a bye. That's the only thing I'm a bit sad about. We didn't have a spare pair available. And I'm happy we didn't have a further drop, but at least it would have removed a bye.
And you didn't have like big question, like loopholes or stuff like that you needed to answer.
I think I had to... Most of the questions were simple. I had to look in the rule book twice, and that was not major stuff. The one that I remember is what happened when the ball falls into the middle of multiple players. Do you pick one player per team to roll, or is it all the players?
And
so that wasn't clear just by thinking about it. So the rule book mentioned that all player can roll.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. So that I know what happened when two players were there, but not when there were multiple players. So that was the one that I had ready to look into the book.
Cool.
So we'll go quickly through the winners. We already mentioned Sam Dolan came first. Paul Campbell came second. Patrick Van Valza came third. We had, you also already mentioned that Yom won the best painted. You, Mr. Steve, won the best gold design.
Yeah.
And our friend Chris Alataras left with the wooden spoon.
And also we did a favorite opponent Pat won that as well for a favorite opponent during the day. Kind of a sportsmanship medal.
We had best of guilds. We won't go through the list. No. There's too many. And we had a ton of door prizes. So almost everybody left with something. And that's on top of the... We had the goodies for everybody also at the start. Custom widgets and a custom ball made with the... I'm drawing a blank on the sport.
The curling.
A curling stone.
And also, for the Best of Guild, it's funny because we didn't have any engineer prior to sign up. And on the morning of the event, somebody switched to alchemist. Sorry to get.
Yeah,
the,
you, yeah.
I said engineer, but
we had ample engineers.
Yeah, we had seven engineers. But, so one switched to alchemist to get the Best of Guild for that. And yeah. Also somebody was signed up as hunter who switched. So I had to, I didn't have any, contest, and I won best hunter. I'm sad.
Yeah, I think four guilds.
Yeah.
One by default, something like that.
Masons. Mason, alchemist.
Blacksmith.
Blacksmith and hunters were all won by default. So, yeah. And for my part, I finish with three victory and two loss. And also there was a special prize with the custom ball that Antoine did. He painted one as a teaser for the event, and it was really nicely painted with with a maple leaf freehand on the curling.
Yeah, I did a Canadian
curling stone
color team. Yeah,
and
on an ice patch and with snow flocks and stuff like that.
And we decided to give it to the first mascot goal of the day.
Yep.
And I won it on the second game with a Fahad goal. But I didn't do that to win the ball. Actually, I did it to win the game because that goal got me the game. So it was a really nice setup. Zerola had the ball after he scored. I thrown the ball near Zerola. And then Fahad advanced, and the turn after, Zerola still had the ball, and he kind of saw what I could do, and he tried to knock her down with Ballista with Deadbolt, and he did manage to get her down. But the ball, the way the ball scattered, it was a favorable scatter for me, so I was still able to clear my condition. I had three influence on her, so she was able to sprint, draw the ball to Fahad. I didn't want to risk the pass.
The pass.
She midnight offering Fahad. Fahad then moved in, did a tap-in goal, and that's it. Won me the game. It was pretty awesome. So.
Yeah, I had three players come up to me over the whole day about the mascot goal. So you were the first of those, but only three over the whole the whole event.
And that's because you mentioned it, because probably some of them wouldn't have happened if there wasn't the prize on the line.
I'm pretty sure.
Actually, I thought somebody that one of the three fish player would get it on the first round with salt.
Yeah, some tried, but one tried with the tentacle,
okay.
And he just missed his goalie. It was a four dice, four dice try. And he failed his kick.
Wow.
Yeah. Almost get it in the first turn. The first round. Yeah. That's about it. I think we've already talked enough.
Yeah.
So we'll mention that Paul was with us when we'll jump with Sam. We didn't record this in order. So now you know that Paul didn't record the intro. We'll probably say the same thing at the end when we close out to go for the closing. So don't be surprised if we mention Paul and that he was missing. You now know why he couldn't record with us. Too much stuff happening family-wise on his side. So let's do a quick break and we'll come back with the interview with Sam Doiron. And welcome back. So right now we have with us Sam Doiron, the winner of the East National Guild Ball Championship, the Canadian Championship for this year. So welcome, Sam.
Thank you, Antoine.
So we also have Steve with us. Paul had to leave for the interview, but he'll be joining us back for the closing after. Well, so congrats. Congrats on your win.
Thank Congratulations. You, thank you. Still a bit in shock.
And I think it's not to mention that so far from all the world qualifier, Sam is the first one qualifying from his country to his country's qualifier, because the Spain was won by a German, the Irish qualifier was won by a British guy, so it's a first. A Canadian won the Canadian qualifier.
Yeah, it's a first one this year.
Yeah, so far.
Worried, in round of eight, I mean, the top one was the top eight, there was only three Canadians left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had a Canadian final, so we were sure that it was going to be a Canadian in the world.
Yeah, pretty great.
So are you still on Cloud Nine?
Yeah, I've been not doing too much other than just kind of walking around and thinking about my weekend.
Realizing that you're going to go to England, all flights and hotel paid, because you won a tournament of miniature wargaming. I mean, yeah. That's something.
Never done anything like that before, and definitely never been overseas before, so
well,
should be an interesting time.
That's great.
Yeah, so I'm definitely still enjoying my post-victory time.
Are you planning to add time to the stay there to visit a bit, or
I would you're like not to there yet. I want to I would like to, I guess I need to get in touch with those guys and see what's reasonable.
Yeah, we need your email address, by the way.
Oh yeah.
To get you too. In touch with them.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so for people who didn't know, we were running the tournament. So by we, I mean Steve, Kevin Stewart, Marc-Antoine Leclerc, and myself. We're four of the East Pundit in Canada. So we all prepared it together, and I was running the event during the day. So event went great. We only have one no-show, so in the end we had 31 players, no drop during the whole day. So event ran smoothly, and we finished on time. So that was quite good.
And started on time as well.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Everything went really well. It was a really well-run tournament.
Well, thank you.
So
Steve, I think you can start with your questions.
So first of all, for people who don't know, Sam was playing Brewers. So Sam, what was your 10 for the day?
So I played both captains and both mascots, which I think is not maybe very common, but that's what I wanted to do. And then I had Spigot, Friday, Hooper, Mash, and Gutter. And Vet Decimate.
Let's not forget Vet Decimate, right?
Yeah, so that was my 10, and I basically ended up playing the same six in every game except the finals.
Yeah, I've noticed you went for a Tapper for all your games. No love for Esther?
Well, I do like Esther's, but well, one, I received in all games but one, and in that one game where I kicked off, I wanted to have Tapper because I was playing against Fisherman. And I think Tapper is a better pick there. And yeah, so I did play Tapper every game, but there was a reason behind doing that. It wasn't just because I don't like Esters.
Okay. So do you want to talk about a bit of your path to victory?
Sure. I just go through the rounds.
Yeah, just a quick recap so people who weren't there and don't browse Longshank don't know what the opponents you faced.
Yeah. Okay. Well, round one, I got matched up against a fellow from Nova Scotia, and we played, he had Butchers, and I played Tapper, and he played Filet. And he made a small reading error the night before, and thought he could put use a game plan card to put 6 influence onto Boar.
Oh yeah. Oh,
and that was
Because the plot card that when a player is taken out, you can reallocate his influence.
Yeah, so okay. He had his captain forwards, and I got her down to 1 health, and then 1 initiative, and killed her, and he just... Yeah, so he had a plan for it, but it didn't work out. And, from there on, I kind of... Most of his players were pretty close to me at that point, so I was able to take control of the game because his captain was missing in action.
Yeah, taking out Fillet with 6 influences can be brutal for them.
Yeah. So that game, I don't have the scores in front of me right now. I could open that up. I won that game, I think, 12. Let me check. Okay, I won that game 12-2. I guess someone died. Yeah, so that was a good warm-up game, and I was happy for the practice. So then I got into round 2, and I played against an engineer player from Ottawa, and I was able to receive again, and I was able to get my captain into a dirty knived ballista, and that hurt. And then I was able to kind of take board control from that, and he got a goal in, but I was able to then deny the ball for the rest of the game and capitalize on all the models that were near my team. So I was able to get that game as well, just kind of snowballed after taking out their captain.
Did you do any goals or just takeouts?
So this game I received... Yeah, I got a goal. I probably got 1 goal and the rest takeouts in that game.
And you mentioned earlier that you pretty much used the same 6. So what was the 6? Tapper, and you mentioned Friday with Dirty Knives?
Yeah, so I ran Tapper Scum in every game, and then I ran Spigot Friday in every game, Veteran Decimate in every game, and then I ran Gutter in every game except the last game where I replaced her for Hooper.
For the final.
For the finals against Blackheart Rage. Rage.
It was either using Rage or Seasoned Brisket.
Yeah. So I knew I was going to be in for a fight, so I wanted another tough model in there.
Sounds good.
And the engineer player had a nice snipe on my cat that scattered the ball into a position where he could get a goal. And but then I was able to take out Velocity and hold on to the balls. I think that game finished off at 12-5. At this point, I'm feeling a little bit nervous about my next round because I know it's starting to get into the later rounds, and I'm going to be... I don't know who I'm going to play against, so there's a few matchups that I've been worried about going into this weekend. So find out I am playing against Pat from Strictly the Worst.
Yeah. So mirror match of Brewers?
Yeah, I was not exactly looking forward to this. Mostly because I think I've only played this matchup once, and I lost. But last time I played Esters into Tapper, and this time I played Tapper into his Esters. I was able to receive, so he kicked off with Vet Decimate and Esters, Make and Quaff. And I was trying to develop my board position a little bit too aggressively on turn 1, and Pat just went in on my captain, took the ball away, pushed me out of threat of anybody on his team, and second winded right back into his lines. So all at once, I lost all my captain pressure and all my goal scoring pressure. So it was a very bad start to the game. Usually I'm a little bit more with it with the threat ranges. And
so you miscalculated a bit?
I guess I just didn't think he would do that for some reason. And yeah, he did it, and it really screwed over my turn one. And then at this point, I'm feeling pretty down in the dumps that like things are going to go badly, because usually my turn one is like one of my strong points, and it got completely denied. And but then I started to realize that my team was a lot more, had a lot more ability to fight. So I decided I needed to just move all my models forwards. I tried to heal up. I got Tapper to back to full HP before we engaged our lines. Unfortunately, I didn't really get into his lines in a meaningful way until turn three, I believe. But I was able to get there with no casualties. So I was down. I felt I was a lot of pressure, but the fight was just starting, really.
So it was a long game.
Yeah, I think it was probably one of my closer games to going to clock. But thankfully, I didn't go to clock on any of my games. So we had a scrum in the middle. Tapper did Tapper things. I had a nice activation where I played the singled out card on Spigot and took him out pretty trivially with my Tapper. And then, so that was a good start to a turn. And so I started kind of coming close to winning or tying the fight aspect, even though I started it quite behind by getting hit by Esther's AoE and getting hit. He had a hemlock, and so he's poisoning me.
Okay.
So I was taking chip damage over, but I was able to get in and start a fight.
So you were able to survive long enough to get into his line?
Yeah. I made sure to get Tapper to full HP as I walked mosey my way in. I sent Friday on a suicide mission, essentially, to give me some momentum, and I was able to get enough models in that made the fight, you know, not such an obvious how exactly to solve the puzzle. But so it was interesting. It's a very interesting game, and I think it ended up with some lucky rolls on from Friday. She went into Hemlock, who had the ball. We were both at 8. Hemlock is in the middle of the field. My Friday was at my goalpost. I go in with 3 endpoints, jog in, take an attack, get the tackle. He counters back, gets the tackle. I counter back, get the tackle, and then I'm able to pass the ball forwards to Decimate, who's then able to finish the job with a 4 dice kick on goal.
Nice.
So, it's just a pretty crazy fight, which ended up me stealing the ball back and getting a goal out of it. And then round 4 was another matchup that I was dreading. It's actually funny because I played against Frank and he played Fisherman. And it's funny that I was worried about this matchup because he wasn't in the tournament until my brother dropped from the tournament.
Yeah, he was in like midweek or something like that, just really last minute.
Yeah, really last minute cancellation. And then a really good shark fish player comes in, and I'm like, oh, well, that's good, but I'm a bit worried now. So this game, I tried something new that I haven't really done before. Like this specific strategy I tried. So basically, I wanted to kick into him so I could... If I kick into Shark, I get a lot of board threat. With Tapper being forwards, I try to missile my cat into the enemies, and if they don't, you know, let me hit them, then so be it. But I just made sure to have a response piece for once the inevitable goal comes in. So the goal came in, Vet Decimate, Tooled up, Vet Decimate went after Sakana, hurt him a bit, was able to activate, was able to take out Vet Decimina on the next turn, and I mean Sakana, and get myself into an interesting position where I had to kick the ball out after he scored, and I had to deny it from Grayscales, who was fairly far up on my flank, and there was a shark right in the middle, so I was trying to figure out where to put it to try to hide it.
There's kick no it over really safe right. spot with those two players around, right?
Yeah, it was pretty challenging. In the end, what I tried to do was I wanted to get it, to make it as hard as it possible as I can. That is somewhat reliable to do. So instead of like trying to kick it off into some weird angle, I tried to kick it into my team where Spigot was able to get the ball and kick the ball to Friday, who then pass dodged into cover within range of Spigot buff. So I'm 5-1 in cover, hoping for Dice to help me out on that one. He immediately activates Grayscales, charges in, and gets about 6 fives or something.
Wow.
Enough for Momentous Ball's gone. And then now I don't have anybody in range except Decimate to actually go after Grayscales, but Grayscales can't score the goal. So Grayscales just in deep in my lines with the ball, ready to score, but I can't hit him with anyone except Decimate. But Decimate needs to kill Sakana. So I was like, you know what, I need these points right now. So I take out Sakana, and then with my influence left over, all I'm able to do is engage with a sprint and an acrobatics. I was hoping to get a double push onto Grayscales to push him within 3 inches of Friday, who could then shadow like into melee range and try to get the ball that way, but alas, couldn't one-shot Sakana from 5 health, which is understandable. Anyway, so now that what happened? I think his captain went into my captain and generated a bunch of momentum, used stagger on me, and then title surged me. But I guess accidentally he actually title surged me to engage his siren. So now I had a 6 influence tapper starting my activation within siren. So
You took care of her.
I hit her. Didn't get roll spectacularly. I think I only got about like 6 or 7 damage or something. And then so that wasn't too good, and his shark and Grayscales both got a lot of momentum. So I ended up losing the initiative there. He first immediately scores a goal with Grayscales, which was expected, but he's not able to actually get far enough away from Decimate to survive her. So I have Decimate ready to take out Grayscales whenever I want, and I have a pretty nice setup here where he played the, to get first initiative, I think, he played the singled out card.
Okay.
And I was able to put my singled out on his Grayscales. And I think he put his singled out on whoever had the ball. Or whoever he wanted to hit from momentum. And, now I had the plot card or game plan card that gives me +1 tack. So my Decimate was going to be +3 tack while going into Grayscales. So I basically knew that I was going to get that kill whenever I wanted. So my...
With not using much influence, I guess, with bonus
tag. There wasn't anything else to hit, so
okay.
I actually basically just farmed momentum off of Grayscales. I might have gained like 6 or 7 momentum from taking him out.
That's pretty good.
And one point I forgot that leads into what just happens after Grayscales scores is turn prior I would use Friday to Dirty Knives as captain. So his captain was down 3 HP, and because he went with Grayscales first, his captain was all alone in the middle of the map, right beside my tapper. And I went into him, and I guess I got maybe a little bit lucky dice, and I was able to take out Shark with 6 influence on him. So that was a pretty big boon to the Brewers' game plan.
So you got the same swing as you got in the first game by taking this made fill it out.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. But he got a goal from it, but I'm not sure what's worth it exactly. I guess the goal is more worth it because that's the game plan he's going for. But
yeah.
Anyway, that felt really good. And now this puts me to 6 points, and he has 8 points. And so I'm in a position now where I'm playing against Fish, who have 8 points, but their captain is off the field, and there's no strikers anywhere near my side of the pitch with where I have the ball. Still tucked away in the corner. So now I'm able to get Friday into Siren One, who was hurt from Tapper prior. I'm able to get a Dirty Knives onto her. So I do 3 damage, and now Siren is on 1 HP. And I see the opportunity for me to use Scum to get the ball to Spigot, and Spigot to sprint over and make a 5 dice pass to Friday. So Friday, setting up Friday for a 6-point activation at the end of the turn, at the start of the next turn. And yeah, I go for it. I need 4 dice, needing 1 4 to kill her. I get 2 attacks for that. Got it on the first one. Take the momentum. Jog into couldn't get it to tap in, but got into range of the goal. And I had played the game plan card that gives me +1 to kick. So I was able to get a goal, and that was a 6-point activation to win it.
You didn't need the super shot.
No, I would have preferred for sure, but that just meant me being greedy with my attacks, and I didn't want to play that game.
Yeah, especially when you're against Fish, and they can really score just after that in one or two activation, and you would lose the game, so... Better safe than sorry, I guess.
Yeah, I was in a very do or die kind of situation, I think. But I felt pretty confident about my odds, and seemed like a good way to end the game.
And then on to the finals.
Yes, now I'm on the finals. I just find out that it's actually an all-Canadian final, which was pretty amazing. And now I realize that I'm playing against Vet Rage. Captain and team that I have some decent amount of practice against. I played 1 good Rage player at SteamCon last year, and I've played Kevin Stewart. He plays Vet Rage into me a few times, and so I've learned a lot about this team, and I had some ideas going in. This is the game where I swapped out Gutter for Hooper, because I wanted to have something that was a little bit more survivable and
more tough fighting, right?
Kind of like you can hit this guy if you want, but it won't be that bad for me.
He's going to survive it for a while.
Yeah. So game starts. I'm able to receive again. So there's a really well positioned or fortunately positioned obstacle in the way, in the center of the pitch, that is fairly likely for him to get the ball stuck behind, and he gets the ball stuck there. So the only person I could retrieve it with was Scum, and I didn't want to commit too much influence to getting her a pass opportunity, so I just got her up there and got the ball and kicked it to space back towards my team. It scattered near my Spigot, and Mist was able to get in on Spigot and get the ball and take a goal shot, and he was successful.
Wow.
And this was the first activation of the game.
That's a good start.
Yeah, so kind of put the fear of God in me, but I was able to... I was just thinking, like, okay, I just need to take this guy out, hold the ball until... make sure I hold the ball a little bit better this time, and only let it out to play when I want it. And so I proceed to migrate my Brewer squad towards the Mist. And I put 5 influence of attacks on from Tapper into her. And he doesn't have great dice. She's in cover. He doesn't do super great. He maybe does 6 damage. And then I guess maybe it was a greedy play. I should have probably killed her with Tapper, but I went in with Spigot. I was able to... I sprinted in to combat, and then I put three attacks into her, and she was knocked down with straight dice because of cover and crowd out. And, yeah, Spigot did very badly as well, and left her on 2 HP. And then she was able, or Mist was able to run away. And, but I wasn't too upset about that because I knew if she ever came close to me, or if I could get a sneaky opportunity to take her out, it won't be very hard. So I'm feeling pretty good still. My team's all together. The ball is safe. His striker is basically out of the game for now. And, so then I start moving my team towards the rage and
tried to contain him.
So I was just kind of waiting to see what I just kind of positioned my team in a way that I was able to respond to what he would do. And I put my tankiest member of my team, Hooper, forwards to kind of soak up whatever they had to throw at him. And so he threw his Harry at me. And was able to push my Hooper around towards his lines and knock him down and try to set him up for some damage. Fortunately, the only person that was threatening him was Gutter and Benediction. So I know that they're probably not going to get a kill super easily without some big setup or if Better Rage could go in. So I'm pretty confident that Hooper's in a good spot, and I'm able to take out Harry pretty trivially, and he's pretty close to most of my line, and I'm able to kind of take control of the fight there. And then what happened next? I think I'm able to get Tapper into Benediction. After Benediction had rushed in to help out with Hooper and Gutter, I'm able to get Tapper into Benediction, hurt him a bunch, and get Commanding Aura up, and just have a... So I'm feeling pretty good. In this turn, I was able to take out Harry and maybe take Benediction half HP, whereas And Mist lost about 8 health or something like that. Maybe less. And then Hooper maybe took, 5 to 7 points of damage. So I was feeling pretty good about how that went. But now it's 4 for the Union, and I have 2 points. And then I'm able to win initiative, I think, that turn, because his captain wasn't able to get as much momentum as you would like. And I start off the turn with Tapper finishing off Benediction, and with my final swing, I am able to knock down Veteran Rage. And this is where one of the key parts of the game went wrong for my opponent, I think, was when I set up Rage with a knockdown under Commanding Aura Tapper, and he activated somebody else and didn't clear the knockdown. So I was able to go in with a 4 influence decimate under Commanding Aura and a crowd out.
Ouch.
And I was able to basically push him into more crowd outs while killing him.
While he was knocked down?
Yes. So I had 4 attacks where I didn't have to knock down, and I was under Commanding Aura, and I was able to 4 shot him before he had activated. So he had 4 influence, and it got denied right there. If he stood him up, he would have had a much better chance of surviving, but it was a bad situation as well.
Yeah, but he could have stand him up. I don't know if he had momentum or not, but like then you can dodge out and charge in at least try to position yourself better and get less crowding out and get out of the action a bit.
Yeah, you really need to do something about that, and he, for whatever reason, he did not, and it Yeah, I bit him in the butt. And then that was the first, probably, I would say, the first major downfall. And at this point, Gutter is alone, so I'm able to take her out. And, well, before this all happened, before I took out Rage, I was able to... The one activation that Rage got to do some things, he charged my cat, because I was able to block a charge lane with my cat. And he charged my cat, unpredictabled out. And then he spent two... Oh, I'm forgetting also, I got a really lucky counterattack with Hooper. I had a bunch of momentum from killing Benediction. Gutter swung on me, not based, and I counterattacked. And I think I had about 7 dice on the counter. And I got 5 fours that netted me a double push.
Wow.
So I was able to push out Gutter from engaging me and wasted 4 influence there. Basically. So that was also a big turn.
So you had 2 big swing.
Yeah. So I did the gut. I counterattacked Gutter, and then Rage came in and onto my cat, which unpredictabled out. And then he used 2 influence to get Gutter back in, and then 2 swings with Gutter, which didn't do too much damage to my Hooper. And I was able to set up Rage for that kill. And that's when I really took over the game state and kind of snowballed in my advantage. And I was able to just continue killing, and I won the game with...
6 takeout? Or
6 takeouts,
oh, yeah. Wow, okay. So it was a gruesome last game.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead union.
So, after playing all those games, which one was the hardest one, you think? Your hardest...
I would probably say the hardest one might have been the Brewer matchup, but the one that I was most pleased with was the Fish matchup. I was very happy with how the Fish game went, and the Brewer versus Brewer matchup was very... very challenging and interesting, and more interesting than I thought it would be. And there was a lot of Brewer math with plus damage and tough hide, and it was getting a little... I was getting a little flustered in that game, that's for sure.
Counting the odds, every dice roll you were making.
Yeah, and just like trying to do tough hide quickly.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, it just adds up. And yeah, but it was a fun game, and I think my the game I was happy with the most was definitely the Fisherman game.
And we all know that the Exile changed a lot of things for the Brewers, so do you think you would have the same result without Vet Decimate? Did she carry you throughout the tournament?
The first 2 games, she didn't do too much for me, but in the following games, she did help me out quite a bit. I think I got 6 points against Pat with her, and I got 4 points against the Shark player, and maybe 6 points against Union.
Okay, so she was part of the swing, right?
Yeah, I think the most noteworthy time for her to me was that, like, really made me impressed with her was against Fish. Between, like, grayscales and just the ability to be fast and have 2-inch melee, she is just insanely good against Fishermen.
Yeah, because Brewers are not a team that's notably fast, so that's...
Yeah.
That's one of the patches she can bring to the
game. Yes, the team. I was really enjoying my fast team. I was playing, my lowest sprint was Tapper, and every other character on my team had an 8-inch sprint.
Yeah.
So I was basically playing all the fast
The fast quote the fast
brewers.
Fast quote unquote.
Yeah. And I'm really enjoying
you did
that
say
sound.
Fast brewers.
Yeah.
So.
No, I know.
Yeah, so that's that was a fun list. I was actually joking around with somebody on the Friday before that I think I'm just gonna play the same six every game, and then I pretty much did, and I had no regrets.
Do you have a favorite play moment of the day, like something wacky or something notable you want to add from your games?
I think the coolest thing that happened to me all day was that 6-point Friday activation to win the game and get me into the finals. It was, I really, really like Friday.
Even she if is... she lost her momentous 2 damage, I think she's still relevant in the with the Brewers, oh. Right?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of her, and she's a big part of how I play the Brewers. And if I don't have her, I feel a little bit naked without her.
And since you're the East Canadian champion with Brewers, do you have any secret tech or tips you want to share with other Brewers player out there? Because with Vet Decimate coming into the team, I'm pretty sure we're going to see a resurgence of Brewers dusting off their model. So do you have any tips for them?
Some general tips about Brewers, maybe, you need to, most models on the Brewers have a wide variety of options available to them, and the more you play with the Brewers, the more you'll see all the different options with each model. If you start to think as Captain, the Tapper is just like this beat-faced Captain, then maybe you'll miss an opportunity to go for a 6-point activation by killing someone off and then taking the ball and then winning the game with a 6-point activation, or maybe... So, point is, the team is very versatile, and they have the tools that are required to handle most situations that Guildball throws at them.
So they're more versatile than they first appear if you just look at the first layer, if you want... of them. They're yeah. just not there to beat. They can score as well if you put a bit of thought into it, right?
Yeah, you just need to keep your mind open on what your characters can do, and it's a fun team, and they have a lot of unique synergies, and make sure you knock people down. Try to get Spigot into some people. Yeah, and just make sure you're aware of your... There's a lot of synergy between models in this guild that you have to be aware of. The amount of times I've mispositioned Tappers, so now I can no longer use his heroic. It's not good. But once you get some practice in, the team starts coming around, and you really just... There's a lot of options, and... Yeah. My list today, I felt really just emphasized that I had felt like I was a very good all-comers list.
And I was mentioning like people dusting off their Brewers, but for your case, you're not dusting them off at all. I mean, you've been playing Brewers since you started playing, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that's correct, Steve, actually. I got into the game. I first was looking at engineers. I thought they were really cool. But my brother convinced me not to play them because he thought they were not very new player friendly. And then I found myself looking at the Brewers, and I fell in love with their aesthetic and their feel. And I really was all in on Esters for basically the entirety of season 2. And I just thought she was the coolest. She had so many options, and I just was really loving all the options that Brewers had. And I'm still enjoying them today. Yeah, I've been playing them for about 2 years now, maybe 3.
And since you've been playing them for a while, who do you think needs some love in Brewers for Season 4? Because we all know Season 4 is coming up in mid-October at SteamCon US. So which model needs love?
Well, I'm sure most people would agree with me. I think Stave needs something. I think you could quickly make him too strong I think he definitely needs something. I think Stoker has his place and he's unique in his toolkit. I think Pipe Pot's in a good spot. I think the core brewers are in a good spot. I'm pretty happy with Esters. I'm pretty happy with Quaff. Really, I think it's mostly is Stave who needs something. I'm not sure what it is, but I think Stave needs something.
And what's your hopes and fears for Brewers for Season 4? Because... and also, do you have a plan B if they end up sucking in Season 4?
Well, first off, I don't have a plan for that because I've been playing them this whole time and everybody said they sucked.
So. Yeah. So you're not really worried about that, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to play them regardless. I've played this team so many times that I just really... There's a lot of characters on this team that I just have a good intuition about what they can do at any given point. And I think even if... certain models get changed or something makes the Brewers slightly less lethal. I think there'll be a way to work around it.
So
and I guess I'm worried a little bit of what they're going to do about Decimate because there's a lot of backlash.
Yeah, I think so, right?
So, not sure what they're going to do, but...
I think she might be toned down a bit.
Yeah. But I'm probably all-inning on Brewers for Worlds, no matter what.
So
I think it makes the most sense.
So you're not bringing another team in your carrying case, just in case?
Well, my carrying case can hold two teams, so I might bring a second team. But yeah.
And you've qualified with by playing and practicing with Season 3. So what's your thought on the Worlds being played with Season 4?
My thoughts on that are, I think ideal world, you would have the Worlds as a Season 3 event due to the fact that almost all the qualifiers will be Season 3. But at the same time, I understand why they want to release it at that point. And this game is all about being adaptive. So I don't think it's the worst thing for them to release Season 4 a little bit before Worlds. And it'll be a good little beta test. So looking forward to that. And very curious what they're going to change, if anything. And their Season 3 changes were pretty neat. The tap-in rule, the new plot cards. Just there's a few different neat things that was changed, so I'm curious what they're going to do. But I am hopeful that it will be good, and I have faith that Brewers will still work well.
They should. I mean, they didn't suffer too much changes throughout the season. So they should stay in the same line as they've always been.
Yeah, I've always felt that they're a strong team ever since I started, and I just felt the issue is whether knowing the team well enough and your opponent's team well enough to get the job done. And it wasn't kind of like a user error if you screw it up. But I guess I kind of think that about most teams. That's kind of just how I view it. If you play it right, you're going to win.
Well, congratulations again.
Yeah, and thank you. About sums it up for us.
Yeah.
So, any final thoughts?
Just want to thank you guys for running that tournament. I'm really happy I was able to make it to this. I did not expect in my wildest dreams to actually get the win here. I guess I should thank Kevin Stewart for being one of my main practice partners, and he gave me a lot of good practice, especially against Union and Fish. He really helped me out with those practice games, really helped me out in the last two games of my tournament. And I think, I'm definitely going to play Brewers in Worlds, and I can't believe I'm going.
Well, I'll be rooting for you for sure, and try to follow up on Longshank and stream to see how it goes there.
Well, I appreciate the support. I've heard of a few times that I have to win now.
There's no pressure at all. I mean, it that far. You had a trip to England. I mean, enjoy fish and chip, beer, and your trip. Yeah. I mean, after that, there's nothing much else to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I had a lot of fun in Montreal over the weekend. It was a really great place to visit.
Yeah, hopefully we can meet again soon at a con and have some games in.
For sure. We still haven't had a game yet.
Yeah, we didn't have a chance to have a game yet.
I was expecting to get matched up against you in the tournament, but...
Well, on round three, was it round three? We were three Canadian standing, and actually, I got match against Paul, so I helped him go through to the finals.
Very nice.
Well, thanks for coming on the interview, Sam. We wish you good luck with the World Championship. And now we will take a quick break and come back for the closing with Paul. And we're back. So thanks again to Sam for jumping in with the interview fast. That was done like just a couple of days after the event.
Yeah, he was still on cloud nine when we did the interview.
Oh, he probably still is.
Yeah, probably he is.
It's a pretty nice package. So for people who don't know, the winner of the qualifying championships, if the tournament gets at least 30 per-registered paid players, not only do the winner get an entry for Steamkin and an invitation for the World Championship, if you get the thresholds of players, so at least 30 players, the flight and the hotel are also covered by Steamforge. So that's a really nice price. It means a trip to the UK, hotel and flight paid the four.
Yeah.
So that's really good.
That's pretty awesome.
So that's it for this episode. Next episode, we already know that we will be talking about the Falconers because they will be out soon or have already been out for a while. We might even be able to get some games in with them. I think you are getting them, Steve?
Yeah, and Paul as well.
Paul is also getting them.
Yeah, so. I have no choice because I'm losing my union choice with the Falconers coming out. So if I want to replace them, I have no choice to get the Falconers. And it's not at all because I want some OP models at all. It's not
for sure.
Not at all. It's just because I have to.
So we'll have that. We also got some listener questions, so we'll probably answer them next week. And if our other listeners have questions for us, contact us by any of our social medias, and we'll probably answer them at the same time and do a kind of a mailbag episode also with the Falconers. So I think that's it.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, And if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com where you will find Broken Prism Reviews, a YouTube channel bringing you game reviews in three parts, unboxing, express gameplay, and a quick rundown of what makes the game stand out. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.